Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Now, Jessica, a lot of us may live lives of clutter and disarray or might have trouble throwing things away. What are some of the criteria of a more serious hoarding disorder?
I think you summarized it fairly well just then. The main difference between the saving tendencies that we all have, where we have a few extra items in our home or maybe things are a bit organized or they're disorganized or there's some clutter, is that people with hoarding disorder, it's reached a level where they have so much clutter that they're unable to use the spaces in their home for what their intended purpose is. So, for example, they might not be able to cook in their kitchen. Sometimes they aren't sleeping in their bed. They might have difficulty entering and leaving their home because there's kind of a wall of stuff that is blocking the entrance. So that point is where it really crosses into hoarding disorder, when it's interfering with their functioning.
And what are the causes of hoarding disorder?
There's some twin studies that show that there is a genetic association for hoarding, so you can inherit a predisposition for hoarding. Other than that, we're still trying to do research understanding what kinds of environmental factors might be at play. Certainly, we see hoarding run in families, but that might be due to the genetic component. And there's definitely certain beliefs that we know are strongly associated with hoarding, beliefs that you need to find use for every object, are you responsible for the object so that objects comfort you or provide you with security.
And well, could you just unpack a little bit further about the anthropomorphism of objects and the role that might play in more severe hoarding disorders?
Sure. It's an interesting thing because on a casual basis, we might all do it a little bit, thinking of our car as having a personality or a computer. But the people who hoard, it goes a little bit more extreme than that. We've had hoarding clients who will have a broken mug, but be feeling very sad about putting that mug in the rubbish because it's kind of hurting the mug or leaving the mug, abandoning the mug. So kind of projecting onto the mug that it has some kinds of emotions. And they realize on some level that it doesn't, but it's more of this feeling that it does. There was a woman who was watching items being sold on TV, dolls, and they weren't even dolls that she found particularly attractive or wanted to buy, but she started feeling so badly for the dolls that no one was buying them that she ended up ordering a bunch to spare the dolls' feelings. So that kind of thing where you're projecting onto the items that they have feelings or personality or intention. And that can, of course, drive people to hang on to their stuff more because they feel this responsibility to their item.
If you've just joined us on The Daily this morning, we're talking to Associate Professor Jessica Grisham from the University of New South Wales School of Psychology. Now, Jessica, what kind of treatment exists for people suffering from hoarding disorder?
The best research treatment right now is cognitive behavioral therapy, either in an individual or in a group format. And that involves trying to get people to start understanding and challenging some of those beliefs they might have about their items, and also exposing themselves to the process of making decisions. So people will bring different items that they're struggling with into therapy and practice throwing those things away or making decisions about them, do work in their own home where they learn strategies to help organize their stuff and make better and faster decisions. So it's a multi- and also limiting acquisition. Sorry, that's one of their components. So some people who hoard have attended things up at op shops and off the side of the road and have lots of subscriptions, and there's a constant flow into their home. So part of the treatment is also trying to stem that tide of objects coming into the home.
And if, say, someone has a loved one or a friend who suffers from a hoarding disorder, what can they do to kind of mend that social disconnection they might have?
That's a really interesting question. I think probably there's a lot of disorders where people are lonely and struggling. And if you have a friend who is having a hoarding disorder or is just depressed, and you can offer some social contact, inviting the friend out for a coffee, organizing some kind of an outing, a little bit of a walk, or having them over for a cup of tea, anything like that where you can increase social contact is really could be a benefit for people with a wide range of different kinds of psychological problems, including hoarding.
Right. Well, that sounds like a really sweet way to end things. Thank you so much for joining us today,
Thank
Jessica.
You. Thanks very much for the interview.